Live from the Next Title Studio, this is News Talk 670 KBOI. If you're talking about it,
they're getting nervous, and they should be nervous.
You know, I kind of disagree with what you're saying.
We're talking about it.
You know, I think it's kind of great that you guys have that duality.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho, 670 KBOI.
Paul J. continues his baseball sabbatical in Arizona. In fact, the other day, he sent me a picture of Raleigh Fingers.
Yeah, Raleigh Fingers and Ferguson Jenkins. He ran into a couple of Hall of Famers. That's terrific.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
I lost my train of thought. Sorry.
Rachel Maddow.
Yeah. The White House. Well, I just lost my call screener.
Oh, I see.
It died. It said the link went down. And so I thought to myself, well, that can't be good.
No, I imagine not. I'm going to talk just for a few minutes, I guess, about Rachel Maddow from what happened yesterday. And if you want to know how people are looking at this story, I've got two different headlines to read to you.
Okay.
One is from the New York Times, and the other one is from Fox Nation, which is Fox News.
Okay.
The headline in the New York Times says, leaked tax return shows Trump wrote off $100 million in losses in 2005.
Okay.
Okay, that's their lead. The lead on Fox Nation says, when a potentially historic scoop is exposed as fake news, Trump tax story an epic fail for Rachel Maddow and MSNBC. Well, okay, and as I said, I don't know that it was necessarily an epic fail, because this is the first time anybody's ever gotten a look at any of Donald Trump's tax returns.
Yes.
And so it was interesting enough for me to tune in and listen to Rachel Maddow for a while. And they, like I said, they talked about it for 2 hours. And yes, that was part of the story, that he had written off $100 million in losses because he had made about $250 million, which I guess if you're a big-time real estate developer in New York City, you do make that much money at times.
Yes, you do.
And he had written off about $100 million in losses, and then claimed about $150 million, and then paid $38 million in taxes, which is not bad.
No.
I mean, at least he paid taxes, right? And that's what a lot of people wanted to know, if he'd ever actually paid taxes. And yes, he paid $38 million in 1 year. Now, if that happens every single year, that's a pretty good amount.
That's a pretty good amount. But
you know, a rich person pays obviously more taxes than a poor person because they make more money. And that's what he seems to have done.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't a whole lot to it. I think she wanted a lot more pages, and like, you know, who did you deal with? How did you lose this money? And there weren't any details, really. I guess all they proved is that he is, in fact, rich.
He is very rich. He's not a billionaire unless, like you say, he, you know, made $150 million year.
But he probably is, because, I mean, $250 million gross, that's what he grossed.
Yeah.
But $250 million may not even have been his biggest year.
No, exactly.
You know, and especially with, you know, when things change in value, that's why they never can exactly figure out how much money some of the guys like Bill Gates and Warren Buffett have, because stocks they own are more valuable 1 year and less valuable the year after that.
Yes.
And so Bill Gates has gone from like 1 year being the richest man in the world with $80 billion to the next year being like the second richest man in the world with $63 billion.
See?
And you'd think, wow, I lost $17 billion in 1 year. Well, he didn't do anything to lose $17 billion.
Yeah.
It just happened that.
Plus, beans and weenies at his house, though.
Well, yeah. Plus both of those two... you know, they give away a lot of money.
Yes, they do.
Those were the first two billionaires to pledge that they were going to give away all but just a few million dollars before they died.
Yep.
And, you know, and it's like Gates. He said, I'm not going to give my kids all my money because, you know, I didn't start out that way. They don't need to
either. Yeah.
On the other hand, just like Trump, it's like, well, I only got a few million from my dad. Well, that's still pretty good.
Still a pretty good start.
Yeah.
But.
So essentially, you weren't on the street when this happened.
The bigger thing, and I'm a big believer in a flat tax. I really am. I don't think there should be any loopholes. There should be no write-offs.
Yeah.
You make $250 million, then you pay whatever number you want to come up with. 20%.
Okay, 20%.
You want to pay 20% on $250 million, that's what you get. You don't write off anything. You don't get a loophole. You don't put it off in offshore things. And if you only make $10,000, then you pay 20% on $10,000 too. So everybody pays the same.
The only difference I would change that. I would say there's a certain amount you probably should have to make before they even start.
Yes. $20,000, I went low because I don't.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
And I don't know whether
it
maybe it's $50,000 a year, maybe it's $25,000 a year. It's the year 2017, so this isn't like the 60s.
Exactly.
You know, when, I mean, you could get along with just, you know, a few thousand a year back then.
I still can. Look at me in 2017.
Well, okay. Good point. Yeah. Yeah. You're.
All right. Let's just, before we go to traffic break here.
I was going to say, you have a certain amount of nostalgia.
Exactly.
About.
Let's go to BR in Boise. BR, you're on 670 KBOI. How are you?
We're good. How are you guys?
We are doing well today, sir. Thank you.
2 points. One of them, it seems like that the, of course, everybody knows that the old National Enquirer, now all the news media act just like the old National Enquirer used to. All kinds of
it's too bad.
Things. It's, it is.
Well, okay, hang on real quick. In the days when we had like just, you know, NBC, CBS, NBC, or ABC, and then you had maybe a local paper, first of all, the news was only a half hour a day. That was it. You got a half hour of national news and world news, and you got a half hour of local news. And okay, so basically an hour for every news story. And they worked on them all day long, and there were no opinion pieces for the most part because you just reported the news. However, when they went to 24-hour news, all of a sudden it's like, well, how are we going to fill 24 hours with what used to be a half hour? They said, well, first of all, we're going to have to get a bunch of experts in here to just say whatever they can about it. So news has become basically just a whole lot of opinions coming in at the same time.
Yeah, that was my second point. You ever watch QVC?
I do not, no.
Not on purpose, but I have seen it,
Well, they take a plastic container in six different colors, and they talk about it for a half hour.
Mm-hmm.
And those guys are good.
And they'll convince a certain number of people that it's worth $79.
Right. But that's just what the news is anymore. They talk about something forever. They talk it to death. Where you just want to turn it off.
Well, and besides,
thanks for the call, BR. We appreciate it.
And besides, you know, them having to fill 24 hours of programming, they also have to compete with the other news services to get viewers. And the way to do that is to kind of over dramatize things from time to time. Like every hour.
And last night with Rachel Maddow.
Okay.
8:46, Fred and Nampa, stand by. We're going to get you after the break.
This is Idaho Talks Live. Today at 10, listen to Rush on 670 KBOI.
8:51, welcome to the show. David and Chris with you this morning. Todd with 1D raising the roof for some reason. I don't know what's going on over there, but it's frightening me a little bit. Fred in Napa, you're on 670 KBOI. How are you?
Happy hump day, gentlemen.
Thank you. You too.
Hey, I don't know if it's a policy for NBC to make fun of its own people within its corporation, but if SNL doesn't do some kind of a skit based on last night's Comedy Gold, they are losing out on some potentially phenomenal ratings.
You're right about that, though. They may lose out because they are owned by the same people.
Yeah, I mean, that was just a spectacular train wreck, and it was almost painful to watch, but gosh, I giggled about it. But my point about my call is the one thing I noticed that she didn't mention, which maybe she just isn't very quick on the math, is that when you figure out what Donald Trump actually paid in taxes, it comes out to like a tick over like 27%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly, which is not bad at all.
No, and it's more than what President Obama has ever paid. I think he's paid 19%. And, you know, our favorite man, Mr. Bernie Sanders, he only paid 13%. So, you know,
that's not bad.
That's pretty good, actually.
That's a little better than Larry David, even. That's good.
Yeah, I work on it.
Okay,
you know,
well,
I'm
well
from
done.
The East Coast originally. So,
nice.
But yeah, I mean, that's one of the things. You know, it's kind of funny when I tend to look at, you know, the entire spectrum of news just to see, you know, what the slant is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of funny just to see everything. You know, of course, Fox is going to put everything in the best light it possibly can. But MSNBC, I mean, it's just wow. I feel so bad for them. I really do.
I got to be honest with you because I was watching the first four last night and watching a little bit of the Boise State game. So I didn't get to watch it, but I was reading it this morning and it just reading about it. The fact that she kept just teasing and teasing like she had this big, huge bombshell And then it came out that he paid $38 million in taxes. Wait a minute.
I understand the point of that. I understand why even like I was excited to see what it was, because he simply has never released tax returns before. And
but
so
the thing is he's not legally responsible.
No. Well, that's true. That's true. And even there was even some kind of a thing that somebody from the White House told him, hey, you can't do that. It's illegal. And MSNBC said, no, we looked it up. It's not illegal. But
yeah, actually, it is illegal for the person who supplied the tax return if that person is a member or former member of the IRS or any mm-hmm. form of government.
Yes.
That is an absolute federal violation.
And I don't know if they were kidding or not, but the guy who revealed it said he had no idea who gave it to him.
Yeah, apparently he found it in his mailbox.
Yeah.
True or not, who knows?
Fred, let me ask you this, because Chris and I talked this morning that we wouldn't put it past the genius of Donald Trump to have released it himself.
Oh, neither would I. Neither would I. And in fact, I mean, bravo if he did. But
yeah.
Why 2005?
That's a random year, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking 12 years ago. Yeah. Why wait that long?
I don't know. So, I mean, there are a lot of...
Fred, thanks for the call this morning.
There
we
are a lot of questions that we would have about this. But it was kind of funny, because even Rachel Maddow was saying that, it was interesting because he had never released any of his tax returns before, so none of us have ever seen them, which is why it was interesting. And, you know, she was building it up like we were going to find out that, you know, Vladimir Putin had made all these payments to him or something like that. I mean, it was supposed to, a big smoking bunt, because there was one of the experts that they had on last night. He said, generally, if a billionaire is hiding something from you, it's because, you know, there's a good reason for you not to be able to see it, mm-hmm. meaning that something is out of place. He's doing something wrong. And so he said, you know, there's no reason for him to hide things unless he's doing something wrong, which is why people, you know, assume that. But if you were going to release anything, this was a good thing to release, because as he just said, it showed that he paid at least more than 25% in tax.
But the thing is, if she sees that and she sees that he's paid $38 million in taxes and she knows there's no smoking gun, why tease it like you're Geraldo opening up Al Capone's vault?
And that's exactly what I thought about last night. You know, it was the same thing with that. That got tremendous ratings.
Yeah.
Now, people made fun of it after the fact, because he opened up the vault and there was nothing in it except dirt.
I saw a meme this morning saying, hey, Geraldo, you're now only the second most embarrassing reveal ever.
But it's like I said, even, you know, to NBC, the number one story is, hey, he wrote off $100 million in losses. Well, and it even says construction losses.
Yeah, I wrote off $11,000 last year in losses.
That's the
I know it's not the same, but I did.
That's the business he was in. But as I said, the Fox story just comes right out and says, you know, huge embarrassing misfire for MSNBC.
Yeah. And to go back to my point before traffic and everything and what Fred was talking about there, to me, it's more obscene that somebody had to pay 27% or higher sometimes, depending on how much money you make. That's why I think I know there are people who made quite a bit of money that would have paid less than 10%. That's why it should be a flat tax, and there shouldn't be loopholes and all that crap.
But you're right about the fact that it very well could have been Trump himself that sent the guy these forms.
Yes.
Because it's like, okay, we don't think you've ever paid taxes. All right, here's a document that shows that I paid $38 million in 1 year.
Yeah.
And the only thing you can say to that is, all right then, never mind.
Yeah, way to go. Way to be an American and pay your taxes. All right. Coming up after the break, we'll talk a little bit of teacher pay and foot and mouth disease. That's up next on 670 KBOI.
It's Troy.
If you're talking about it,
they're getting nervous, and they should be nervous.
You know, I kind of disagree with what you're saying.
We're talking about it.
You know, I think it's kind of great that you guys have that duality.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho, 670 KBOI.
Welcome back to the show. 9:07 now at 670 KBOI. David Allen in for Paul J. all week as he is watching a baseball in Arizona. He'll be back on Tuesday of next week. Chris Walton is here with me. He'll be gone all next week. So Monday, it's the David Allen and Nate Shellman show.
Yes. Of course,
you'll want to tune in for the train wreck.
I
have no idea what it's going to be.
I will have considerably less traveling to do.
But you could still probably watch baseball.
Yeah.
Just maybe not in person.
Because I do own a TV.
Yeah.
So there's that.
All right. This is from Kimberly Crucy. I hope I'm saying her last name correctly. If I'm not, I apologize. In the Idaho Statesman. An eastern Idaho state lawmaker who thought his microphone was turned off on the floor of Idaho's house during a break on Tuesday uttered that some public teachers are, quote, clearly overpaid, and then said later he didn't remember saying so.
Well, he said it was taken out of context, and I'm thinking, okay, then please explain in what context did you mean that teachers are overpaid?
Instead, all he's saying is it's all fake news because it's not really a story. So, I know that quote would be attractive to reporters, Representative Ron Nate of Rexburg told the AP, insisting he did not recall making the comment. Nate made the comment while talking to Representative Guyane DeMordant?
Yeah,
DeMordant. I'm going to say that, all right?
DeMordant, that's pretty good.
I just don't know that representative, so I wasn't sure how it was pronounced.
Okay.
A Republican from Eagle during a break from the House. Ooh, vertigo. During a break from the House's formal morning session to address technical issues with the Internet, lawmakers' microphones are typically turned off when the House is taking a break. I will tell you something, Representative Nate. Being in radio?
Yes, even microphones.
All mics are live, brother.
We are taught that from a very early age, that if you are anywhere near a microphone or in the same room with one,
yep,
simply do not say anything that you would not want everyone to hear over,
yep,
a microphone, because it could be on and you could.
You have
might,
no idea.
And,
yep,
know it. And we had some microphones once in here malfunction, and we could hear the speakers, you know, in the room, which usually,
oh, okay,
indicates that the microphones,
sure,
are not on because it turns off the speaker sound,
yep,
in the room when the microphones are on generally. But we could hear the speaker sound, but still, and all of our microphones were turned off, but they were still on.
Oh, okay.
For some reason, because,
yep,
something had gone haywire.
Yep. Yeah, triggered.
Fortunately, all we were saying was, hey, what do you want for lunch today? You know, stuff like that. But
I want a Hershey bar. Did I not mention that during the news break?
You did.
Okay.
This was actually another story.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't earlier.
Here is Representative Nate's quote from yesterday.
Uh-huh.
We all know our districts. We all know there are teachers. They're clearly overpaid. Nate said in a live stream conversation sent from the House to the public. After the House adjourned, Nate told reporters he believes teachers, especially those who teach math and science, are underpaid. He said he must have misspoken when he made the comment about teachers being overpaid.
Did he mean the ones that teach English and history are overpaid?
I guess they must be.
Okay.
The comment heard over his microphone came after Nate argued against a budget appropriation proposal to add $2 million for counseling services in public schools. He doesn't think counseling services are worth it. He argued the money could be spent to hire 53 more teachers. Throughout this legislative session, Nate has reportedly debated against appropriation legislation to point out various budget increases could be better spent to fund teacher pay. Nate's comments over the microphone yesterday generated scrutiny because Idaho is in the middle of a 5-year plan to boost teacher pay. State school administrators have long said they lose their best and brightest teachers to neighboring states because Idaho cannot compete with higher salaries.
Here is what I would tell Representative Nate, just as a piece of advice.
Sure.
Okay, if what you're trying to convey is that you think teachers are underpaid, don't start your story by saying, well, clearly some teachers are overpaid, but not most of them.
Yeah.
Because then you have not made the point you were trying to make. You've actually made the opposite point.
Because if you're trying to say, hey, 10% of them are overpaid, but the other 90 aren't, that's all
whether Mr. Nate thinks so or not, it will lead into another question, which is, yeah, which 10% are overpaid and what
exactly
do you mean by that?
Yes. Yeah. What do you mean by exactly that 10%? And why do you think they're overpaid?
Well, and okay, let's pretend that it's like any other job. Okay.
Okay.
Go into any particular business, and let's say that there's a business and you got 200 employees working in this building.
Okay.
My guess is you're going to be able to find a few that are overpaid.
Oh, I bet there's only 57 in this building. I bet I can find one or two in this building.
Simply because in any organization, there is somebody out of all those people, there,
yep,
is somebody that is the hardest worker,
yep,
and there is somebody who is the least.
Exactly.
It's just a bad worker. Okay,
and a lot of times the bad worker is going to be overpaid.
But if you're lucky, even the worst worker you have will still be pretty good.
And now Nate yesterday, not Representative Nate, but Nate Shellman on his show,
right,
had a good point in that talking about teachers who are overpaid and what your definition of that is. And It's not the number they're getting paid.
Mm-hmm.
It should be, are kids learning anything in their classroom? Are kids graduating? Are kids getting good grades because they're actually learning something and not just getting pushed through the system?
Mm-hmm.
Because if you've got a teacher who doesn't give a damn and they're just showing up every day and they've got tenure or whatever,
okay,
and whether it be at BSU or a high school or wherever, then that person is overpaid. Even if they're only making $20,000, they're overpaid.
I will say this, and I'm not gonna base this on anybody else's experience, but my own when I was in school.
Okay,
I had some teachers that I thought were completely insane, and I had some that I thought were brilliant.
Yes, 100%.
And as far as I was told early on, I had the responsibility, regardless of what kind of teacher I had, to do well in the class. Okay. So, and basically, I kind of figured out early on that whatever I got out of said class was whatever I put into it. If I studied hard, it didn't matter whether the teacher was good or not. I was going to do fairly well in this.
Yes.
If I failed to study, failed to read any book, failed mm-hmm. to pay attention at all, then I wasn't going to do very well.
Not so much.
And even if you have the greatest teacher in the world, if I refuse to do well, I'm not going to do well, right?
Exactly.
Okay. So a lot more of it, I think, has to do with the individual student than actually the kind of teachers they have. Because, you know, there are some kids that, well, if you listen to their parents, they've gone through 9 years of school and haven't had a good teacher yet.
Yes. Buck and Meridian, we're going to talk to you after the break. I'll tell you, I had my biology teacher in 10th grade hunkered down next to me and called me a smartass. So he was clearly underpaid because he was very observant. Because you know what? I was. 9:14. We'll be back with Buck and Meridian.
We didn't say he was inaccurate.
No, just that he shouldn't have said it, maybe. And share his thoughts with everybody. We'll talk to you, 336-3700, 1-800-529-5264. #670 on your Verizon Wireless. This is 670 KBOI.
Remember, you are listening to Idaho Talks Live on 670 KBOI.
Well, in a roundabout way, I'm going to tell you, see what I did there, KBOI rewards code today. Microphone.
Yeah, good idea.
Yeah.
MicroPhone.
Mm-hmm. Microphone. Go to KBOI.com, enter the keyword microphone. Really, all you have to do is put the first three letters, so you can just put mic in there. And you'll get your 5,000 rewards points.
Pretend you're watching the Mickey Mouse Club. M-I-C, and then just stop.
Yeah. Buck and Meridian, you're on 670 KBOI with David and Chris. How are you?
Well, I'm good. I hope you guys are, too.
We are. Thank you.
I had a couple of points, but I'm too old to remember them all. The first one is, you know, teaching is a part-time job, unfortunately, for a lot of teachers. It's three-quarter time. They work 9 months. Mm-hmm. They're off 3 months. So we shouldn't attempt to compare their salaries with those of the remainder of the workforce who are full-time. And I know that a lot of teachers do put in a lot of extra time, and you know it when you have one. And I had mm-hmm. a few, also had a few who didn't put in any extra time, and they were counterproductive. But at any rate, I have already forgotten my other point. So,
but no, Buck, thanks for the call. That's a very good point. Mm-hmm. And you can't judge the book by the cover because, like you say, I had some teachers who barely put in the eight hours they were supposed to every day.
Most teachers that I knew years ago, and both of my parents were involved in this, in the summertime would have another job.
Yes.
My dad, he taught migrant education in the summertime.
Okay.
And he taught driver's ed in the summertime.
Okay.
And there were a whole lot of other things that he did. And my mom did a bunch of other things, too. She was a bookkeeper for actually a family car business.
Okay.
But they do have a lot of other jobs. But they also have to take college classes a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Teachers have to continue to, take learning.
Yes, definitely.
To be up to date on different things.
Yeah.
And so a lot of times in the summertime, they take college courses as well.
Now, let me play devil's advocate for a minute.
Okay.
And this is not, I don't want anybody calling in and saying this is what I believe, because it's not. I honestly wish teachers were the highest paid profession, because they're such molders of people that they should make more than they make. That being said, mm-hmm. if you're in college now and you're training to be a teacher, you know how little you're going to get paid.
Well, yeah, and that's part of it, that people who go into teaching generally say that they did so because they love teaching.
It's like radio.
Well, to a certain extent, yeah.
I'm not kind of getting rich here. But it's what I know and it's what I love. Mm-hmm. Some people would disagree with it's what I know, but it's what I love.
Well, and so, yeah, that's, I mean, that's different if you're in, you know, someplace like Los Angeles or New York City.
Well, obviously, yes.
But yes, in a market of this size, it's, let's put it this way. There are other things you could do if you want to simply make money.
Make money. Exactly. But yeah. You do what you love.
Yeah,
and it's a lot of fun to come to work every day.
Mm-hmm.
That you, for me, you can't put a price on that. So I know a lot of teachers do it out of the love, and they love to see the light go on yeah. as they're giving a lesson, and the kids get it. You know, there's nothing greater than that.
I know a guy who, for most of his career, made about $250,000 a year.
Okay.
And saved an awful lot of it, and is retired now, you know, has a great house and everything, and travels and all sorts of things. But what he said is that really, in his entire career, he never had a job that he thought was a lot of fun. Never even one
really?
Time.
Really?
Every job he ever had, he said he made every move based on the rewards only.
Yeah, see, I never...
And he said when he was in college, he took... He took the major that was supposed to make him the most money when he got out of school.
Yeah.
And then when he got a master's degree, he got a master's degree in the subject that he thought would make him the most money when he got out of school. Turns out he was right about a lot of that stuff. But he also didn't enjoy very much of what he did and really looked forward to retirement.
Yeah. I never did a money grab.
And he's having a great retirement.
Yeah. Any chance he wants to adopt a 55-year-old?
No, he does already have one of those.
Okay, well, I just wanted to check. Okay. Darlene in Boise, you're on 670 KBOI. How are you this morning?
I'm fine. I was a teacher.
Okay.
And I was a special ed teacher and taught the severe and profound. And I can't tell you they're not paid enough. I mean, I can tell you we are not paid enough.
Okay.
Correct
me if I'm wrong, but special education teachers don't even make as much as the ones who have regular classrooms, right?
We make the same.
Oh, you make exactly the same? Okay. Because I was under the impression it was less.
Even though you have to take an extra semester of school.
Mm-hmm.
And the caller that said we only work 9 months and take a half, our pay is spread out over 12 months.
That's true.
So we may only work those 9 months plus all the other hours we put in.
Mm-hmm.
I would go in at 7 and stay there till 5.
Wow. My mother was a grade school teacher, and she was never one to put off things. In other words, if she had something to get done, she would get it done today. And so it was not uncommon for her to come home at 9 or 10 at night.
That's crazy.
When she was teaching.
Darlene, thanks for all your hard work as a teacher. Honestly, it's what I first went to college to do, was to be a teacher. You're probably surprised by that, aren't you?
Me?
Yeah.
Not really.
All right. I was going to be a history teacher for middle school.
Well, see, that's not bad. James of CUNA. Oh, we need to get to a break?
Yeah.
Let's do that, and I'll come back and I'll tell you what James of CUNA had to say and a few other people as well.
We'll take more calls, 336-3700, 1-800-529-5264. News with Rick comes up next on 670 KBOI.
This is Idaho Talks Live. Today at 1, listen to Savage on 670 KBOI.
Welcome back to the show. David Allen, Chris Walton here with you. We are discussing teacher pay, and Representative Nate yesterday from Rexburg saying... Mm-hmm. We all know that there are teachers that are clearly overpaid.
James and CUNA wrote in to say, and this is kind of interesting because I had made the comment about, you know, how news is different than it was, say, like in the 1960s. And I'll make the point again very briefly. In the 1960s, you had a half hour of news on CBS or NBC or ABC, and maybe you had local news, and that's all you got until the next morning's paper or whatever was on the radio at the time. You didn't have anybody that was doing news 24 hours a day and all their programs on their network, you know, were all news.
Mm-hmm.
And so you didn't have as much to fill, but you also didn't have the competition that you had. And so CBS and NBC and ABC at that time, knowing that, you know, they were competing with each other. But the way they competed with each other at that time was, you know, to say who had the most integrity, who was the most accurate,
yes,
who had the story first and got it right. You know, who had the best this, the best that. Then after a while, it just became who's getting the most attention.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, there are, at the time CNN started, they were the only 24-hour news network, and now there are about 130 in the world.
At least, yeah.
And you can watch any of them and get just about any angle that you want on a story. Now, James of Cuna wrote in, and he says, you talk about 24-hour news and opinion. How is 670 KBOI different? Most of the shows, like MSNBC and Fox News, just like Idaho First Morning News, it's listed in the guide as entertainment, not news. Okay, number one, I didn't talk about us, and I didn't mention that we were different, and I also didn't give an opinion as to whether or not I thought a 24-hour news station was good or bad. I just said that they get more into the story now, and they have a lot more conjecture than they used to.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this could be the case. This could be what's happening here. Well, I don't know about this, but it could be this. Now, in my experience, when somebody's doing, it's like the guy said, in my experience, when somebody hides something, it's because it needs to be hid.
Sure.
Or hidden. And, yeah, I agree that we, just like everybody else who does news, we compete and we give a lot of opinion. And a lot of news, but we do that to, you know, obviously to get ratings, and so, because this is still a business. It's the news business. It's the entertainment business. And yeah, we do. Now, I didn't mean to say that we don't do a lot of the same thing. I mean, you know, you could say like we're just a news station, but if you listen to Rush Limbaugh, he's doing a lot of news, but he's also giving a lot of opinion.
Sure, sure, sure.
So
sure.
It's both. We call it news slash talk. And, I don't know. I didn't mean to say that these were bad things. And it's probably good that we have so much news now, because if there's a detail out there that could be missed, it won't be.
No.
And if there's a theory that somebody could have about what's going on, that theory will be presented, and you can either, you know, poo-poo it and say, well, no, that's a terrible theory, or you can say, well, that's great, and I'm going to follow you. You know, we have all that available to us, where before it's just basically you had Cronkite and that was it.
Yeah.
Or John Chancellor or Huntley and Brinkley.
Brinkley, exactly. Yeah,
Harry Reasoner, whoever.
Stephen Boyce, you're on 670 KBOI. How are you, sir?
Good. And you even get commentary from listeners.
Yes, we do.
Yes, we do.
We like that.
Yeah, that's the best part.
Well, and you know, I was also going to be a teacher, David.
Nice.
But when they pay you $35 a day to substitute teach, when teachers are making well over that, and you have a 3-year period to get into the Boise School District, it just didn't take long for me to stay with what I was doing. And it's a shame, because I really like teaching.
Mm-hmm.
I like dealing with kids. But sometimes the bureaucracy of the politics of the job that you're in kind of leads you out of that career. And teaching, like any other profession, has the bell curve. There's those at the top and those at the bottom.
Sure.
And those in the middle. And I had some fantastic teachers when I was in high school, grade school, junior high, and even through college. And they really made an impact on my life. And I'm really not anti-education, although I am critical of education, because I see the politics and how it destroys, and the empire building down at Boise State. I mean, some of those classes, we only had 3 or 4 kids in a class. I think there were 6 that we had to have in a class before they could actually keep the class. But some of those classes, we struggled to get 6 kids for a class.
Mm-hmm.
And there are great teachers out there. And, you know, if you really want to make money in education, you need to get into administration. But then you lose your teaching.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and that's what's happened. And I'm old enough to have seen a lot of people go through education, and they're now retired. And the benefits of the teachers are what keep them there. And I noticed a few teachers that got burned out in their career, and they were just waiting for the day they could retire and get out of there. And when you reach that point and you've made a career choice, which, you know, keeps you kind of grounded and in that field, then that's where you end up. And sometimes the burnout factor can really,
mm-hmm.
You know, change a whole person's career, which is sad, because, you know, you should go out on a high note.
That's true. Thanks for checking in, Steve. We appreciate it, brother. Have a good Wednesday.
And teaching isn't alone in that. There is burnout in almost any career.
Sure. But see, that's why I go back to the fact that I actually, as soon as I got into radio out of high school, that I realized I loved it. And mm-hmm. I've never been burned out. That's all I've done since I was 18. I don't know anything else, which is both good and bad, because I really don't know this very well either. So
Jeff of Boise wrote in to say, my wife was a teacher in a rural district and finally had to give up the profession due to lack of pay. The school year is only 9 months, and the school day is roughly 7 hours, so people think teachers have it easy with summers off. What they don't see are the after-hours lesson planning, correcting papers, and continuing education. Anyone who thinks teachers are paid enough should spend time with a teacher and see what actually occurs throughout their day/week. She loved teaching, but raising kids has its own demands, and teaching just doesn't pay the bills and vastly takes time away from family life.
Well, like we said earlier, though, if you have a teacher who's just going through the motions, and I'm not saying there's a lot of them, but like any profession, there's going to be people who are just going through the motions. Those teachers are paid too much.
Yeah.
But if you're a teacher who really cares, who puts in those, like Darlene, who called in before, that mm-hmm. worked 7 to 5. Holy crap, that's a long day. She cared a lot.
Yeah.
And so she's underpaid because she's working 60 hours a week and only getting paid for 40. And it's ridiculous. And like you say, during the summer, they would take classes so that they get better teachers and they want to be better. And you see teachers buying all kinds of stuff for the classroom and everything mm-hmm. out of their own paycheck
now,
to stimulate students' brains.
As we say here, there's always more than one side to a story. Now, Bud of Boise wrote in to say, teacher pay. The Board of Regents on Monday eliminated a requirement that aspiring teachers in New York State pass a literacy test to become certified after the test proved controversial because black and Hispanic candidates passed it at significantly lower rates than white candidates. The Regents also moved forward with a proposal that would allow some students who failed another test aimed at evaluating practical skills like lesson planning and assessment to be certified as teachers based on their grades and professors' recommendations. Together, the steps signal how much the Regents' approach has changed under the current chancellor, Betty A. Rosa, after several years of efforts to raise the bar for entering the profession. Now, what I think you have proven with that comment, Bud, is that, people are having to lower the expectations because there is a shortage of teachers, mm-hmm. because there is a shortage of qualified people who are going into the field, and that generally has to do with the fact that they can make more money doing something else.
Exactly. John and Jeff, hang on for me. We're going to get you after the break. 336-3700, 1-800-529-5264. You're listening to 670 KBOI. It is bracket time, everybody. Men's basketball tournament, they are out. We're ready to have your picks here. So go to KBOI.com now and enter the Million Dollar Madness Challenge. Play against the KBOI talk hosts. I know Chris and I both put ours in yesterday. Chris went out on a limb, and he says East Tennessee State's going to win the whole thing, while I think the New Mexico Lobos are going to win the whole thing. So,
you know what? As a matter of fact, it's funny that you said East Tennessee State, because this morning I was telling you that I have a relative who went to Kansas State.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, maybe I'll root for them. I have a relative that went to Virginia Tech, so I'll root for them. I have a relative that went, what else did I say? Oh, Oklahoma State, yeah. And the one I forgot was East Tennessee State.
Well, there you
I
go.
I have two nephews that both graduated from East Tennessee State.
So?
And neither one of them, you know, are playing varsity basketball.
No, of course not. But that's why you picked them right there. So
but yeah.
Play against the KBOI talk host. A perfect bracket gives you a chance at $1 million. Even if you aren't perfect but have the best local bracket, you'll have a chance to win a 55-inch 4K TV from the Stereo Shop. Million Dollar Madness is brought to you exclusively by Peterson Auto Group, Stereo Shop, and, of course, 670 KBOI.
Mm-hmm.
John in Boise, you're on 670 KBOI. How are you this morning, sir?
Not bad. And yourself?
We are doing well. Thank you.
All right. Well, I think there's a lot of different avenues that for arguments for teacher pay.
Sure.
I would say, Idaho's cost of living helps out with that, if you look at the average teacher pay. But if you also look at the average state wage made in Idaho, it's about $31,000, $32,000.
Mm-hmm.
The average teacher pay is probably about 20-25% higher than that.
Well, you do need to get a bachelor's degree to become
right.
a teacher, so a lot of that has to do with that.
Right, but... you know, when you go back and forth between the numbers, right, mm-hmm. and we take out the politics, you could have some people understanding why they think they are and why they aren't paid or overpaid. And I understand the issue from both sides. I did do a lot of volunteering for classes, probably about 2, 3, 4 years worth of volunteering most of the time. In that sense, three to 3 days a week, maybe. And I kept my own job. I understand some of the issues that they face, but I really think the big thing in it is once they're in, you can't get them out. So I think a lot of it is losing incentive to be better when they can just be the normal.
You think so?
Trying to get those teachers to look up to the top 15% of the teachers in their own categories and paying them more would increase that. We had, you know, thresholds for a little while, you know, what were your students graduating at? Were they graduating with a C average or an A average? Those things would help.
Mm-hmm.
Lowering standards never helps.
No.
We don't want to lower standards for doctors. Why would we lower standards for the new minds?
Yeah. Well, and sometime, at some point it changed, too. There was a time when if the report cards came out and a kid had all C's, the parents would storm in to talk to somebody, but it would be the kid. And
right.
At some point it turned to where if the kid gets bad grades, they go in and storm in and blame the teacher.
Oh, yeah. I hear what you're saying there, too. Yeah, and it's and there are obviously lots of aspects. And teachers will always tell you that, you know, parents do need to be more involved. And that's we do have this kind of drop them off and pick them out, you know, society when it's learning is a full-time job for everybody.
100% agree.
Good point. Absolutely.
You can't just stop. I used to have my own children do reading assignments and math assignments for me in the summer. Because mm-hmm. I did not want them to be behind as soon as the gate opened.
Sure.
It's the first day of school. It makes no sense.
Well, yeah, and I had a good head start. I mean, my mother was a
teacher. Thanks for the call, John. We appreciate it.
She wasn't teaching full-time when I was a small child because she was raising small children.
Yeah.
But, you know, before I ever hit kindergarten, I had learned a lot of phonics and stuff like that
My
mom taught that. And she even occasionally tutored the neighborhood kids. And, you know, I would sit behind them and answer all the questions and annoy people.
You're still doing that.
Well, I know that.
Okay. Jeff, I'm sorry. We're down to the last 20 seconds in the show. I wanted to get to your call, but not going to be able to. Give us a call on Friday. We have open phones in the 9 o'clock hour. You can call and talk to us then about education and teacher pay.
Quick instant message here. Bill of Boise says maybe the teacher should be paid by each student that passes. That wouldn't work because they'd just pass them all anyway. At least I would.
I'd make sure all my students passed.
And Josh of Meridian said, I would like to see every teacher have to clock in and out every day so we no longer have to hear about the hours they put in, the lies about the hours they put in. They're not lies.
Some teachers work a lot of hours.
Oh, they really do.
They really do. Just like some program directors
and
radio
of course,
work a
yeah,
lot of
I'm
hours.
Sure some teachers are home by 4 p.m. every day, but it's not that many.
It's not the norm. All right, national news, local news comes up next. Then Rush Limbaugh after the news on 670 KBOI. Keep it here.